This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
The Roundup on Joy 94.9. From the nitty to the gritty.
For a fault to develop 2 years after the aircraft actually enters service, it's almost guaranteed to be a manufacturing fault.
The outright political.
You can't pay your respects to somebody that has left down a coal mine.
The frightfully bizarre.
I would tell George Bush I didn't have the grounds to call him a racist.
And everything in between.
I'm not lesbian. I'm not even kinda lesbian.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is The Roundup.
Hello and welcome to The Roundup on Australia's only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9. I am Ellie Pelletier, and joining me, as always, is the wonderful Michael Pinter-Bonner.
Hello, Ellie. Hi, hello,
Mike.
Melbourne.
Nice to see you. I wasn't here last week, so I missed your lovely face.
We did miss you, Ellie.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey, coming up on tonight's show, we just want to know if you've been subjected to cyberbullying. Call us on 1300-JOY-949 and tell us your story, or email us on air at joy.org.au. Don't SMS us. Our SMS is still down, so we can't get your texts, but we will look forward to your wonderful emails and your phone calls. You can give Rob a call on 1300-JOY-949.
Thanks, Ellie. Michael Pinter-Bonner here with the news and current affairs wrap on The Roundup, and the government's welcome the AFL's decision to distance itself from a campaign by the clubs industry against anti-gambling reforms. Clubs Australia had suggested the AFL would join a multi-million dollar campaign with it and the NRL to head off loss limitation legislation. But the AFL chief, Andrew Demetriou, has done a backflip and announced his organisation won't be involved in any campaign and will work with the government on ways to control problem gambling. A Melbourne aquarium diver has been stung by a stingray after accidentally kneeling on it during feeding time. The man received a minor injury to his knee during the accident and has been taken to hospital in a stable condition. Australia's chief scientist has challenged the local science community to stand up and be counted in the national climate change debate to lift public understanding of the issue. Professor Ian Chubb has told a parliamentary inquiry that debate on the carbon tax and climate change should be ideas-driven and not politically motivated. Professor Chubb has also described media coverage on the carbon tax as one-sided and misleading. And Cats fans can breathe a sigh of relief this evening as James Kelly and James Podisalli are free to play in Saturday's grand final against Collingwood after the match review tribunal laid no charges from last weekend's game. And that is the news and current affairs wrap on The Roundup. Back to you, Ali.
You know how I love a funny animal story.
Every week we get a funny animal story from you.
I always read The Age. I love it. And last week in their odd spot, and I hate a pinch from the odd spot in The Age, but this one is so worthwhile. So there was a heroic pig once upon a time in a land far away called China. There was a heroic pig who survived more than a month buried under rubble after the 2008 earthquakes there. Scientists have cloned it.
The heroic pig.
The heroic pig.
Is that
pig.
Because he was a hero?
Because he was a hero him? And he must have had really strong hero genes. So they've performed the pig's name was Zhu Jingqing. Jingqing, I think that's
Jingqing.
Yep.
Yes.
So he's the strong-willed pig has produced six offspring.
Oh, six strong-willed offspring.
Yeah.
Now they're clones, so they're the exact same, yeah?
They're exactly the same. So now there's seven of them in the world.
Seven of Zhu Jingqing.
Seven heroic pigs.
And in the world.
In recent news, text messages are working now.
Yay!
So please SMS 0427-JOY-949. Let us know your thoughts about anything on tonight's show.
Coming up next on The Roundup, we find out why Lady Gaga has spoken out against cyberbullying.
The hottest remixes. Joy 94.9.
You're on The Roundup with Michael and Ali.
Yes, and visit us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/theroundup on Joy 94.9. And don't forget, you can SMS us now. It's all working beautifully. 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Jamie, I know you're up there looking at us, and you're not a victim. You're a lesson to all of us. So tonight, I know it's a bit of a downer, but sometimes the right thing's more important than the music, isn't it?
Now, if you don't know what Lady Gaga was talking about there, she was talking about the very tragic story of Jamie Rottermeier. He was a 14-year-old American boy who tragically committed suicide on the weekend as a result of cyberbullying. Now, Jamie's story is important for a number of different reasons. I guess the first one is that he was cyberbullied and to the extent that, you know, he took his own life. And the second one was that Jamie was very active in the gay community and really had a role to play in the It Gets Better campaign, where he sort of stood up against homophobia and said it's wrong, and then was subjected to that himself. Now, it has led a lot of people to think about, you know, the punishments around this. And one of those people was actually the leader of the It Gets Better campaign, Dan Savage. And this is what he had to say.
We need to find a way to hold people who engage in that kind of online harassment accountable for the damage that they do.
I totally agree with that statement. I think that people that are online and are actively bullying another person, they should be held accountable for their actions. The problem here is that legislation is so much further behind where technology is at, and technology is evolving every day, that you find that the legislation doesn't actually even accommodate for what is happening in the digital world. And it's something that then makes you as the individual responsible for your own behaviour, and also responsible in part for, you know, the way you're treated online.
Yes, and we've had an email in from Jenny, who says that my daughter is in year 8 this year. She recently told me that last year, for around 3 months, a girl in her class posted nasty comments on Facebook on every picture she posted. My daughter said she was too afraid to tell anyone in case it got worse. I absolutely encourage schools to take action on things like this.
A really sad story there. And I like that last line, encouraging the schools to take action in a situation like this. But do schools?
Well, how would a school, if Jenny's daughter is too afraid to tell anyone, how can the school take action? We all have a right to be safe and be protected, but we also, every single person has a responsibility to let people know what's happening for them, to speak out.
But Ali, I think that being bullied, if you're in a situation where you are experiencing bullying, no matter how bad it can get, you still have a sense of pride, and you may be too proud to even, you know, speak up or tell, you know, those that are closest to you, like your parents, because you are proud and you don't want to speak out about that. So it's a real tough one. I think that there should be maybe a responsibility upon, you know, social networking sites and the people that see those pages. So if, you know, your friends are seeing cyberbullying on your page, you can report that, perhaps.
So you're talking about something like, you know, on online forums and on comments pages on articles, there's a an alert every time someone leaves a comment. There's a little button, you know, on lots of them at the end of that says alert the moderator, so that, you know, if somebody thinks your comment's inappropriate, they can click that and the moderator can be alerted to that inappropriate comment. So you reckon it would be good if Facebook did something like that?
Absolutely. I think that there should be a role for moderators. And I think that, you know, back in the day, when you look at the sort of original social technology, MIRC, which is M-I-R-C, which is a chat room, around in the early noughties, and there were moderators on there that if you even swore, they will kick you off the chat room and bar your username and your access to it. So that happened, and I'm not sure if it's happening today, and I think it's creating situations that are unsafe for people.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think that there's still an individual responsibility, because when you throw it open to, you know, asking Facebook to do something like that, that just kind of reeks of internet censorship to me, you know, in a way. So I think each individual has a responsibility to let people know what's going on for them so that something can be done about it.
Well, let us know your thoughts. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or you can call us 1300JOY949. We have had an SMS in from Peter saying, cheers for the great story. He's enjoyed that story. It's a really sad story, the story of Jamie. And we really do want to know if you're in a situation where you're being cyberbullied, that there are options available to you. We've talked about the online options, but you can go to other sources.
You can. So if you're being bullied at school, you may have a school counsellor or someone you can confide in who can tell somebody for you. You can also just call Lifeline. It's 13 11 14. If you're being cyberbullied or bullied at all, or there's anything in your life that's worrying you, Lifeline are a great service for that. So that number again, 13 11 14.
And don't forget, here in Victoria, we are very lucky to have the Safe Schools Coalition, which does a great job of particularly working with the GLBTI community in providing safe schooling environments. Now, next on the roundup, Ali's been crying tears constantly, and we'll find out why. But first, we've got Sia. You are listening to the roundup with Ali and Michael on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station. It's Joy 94.9. You're on the roundup, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9, with Ali and Michael.
Yeah, and you can let us know your thoughts throughout the show. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair at joy.org.au.
Oh, Ali, that's such a lovely, lovely song there. It made me want to dance and hold somebody and really get committed, because commitment is what it's all about. And we as a community have had a win, haven't we?
We have had a win. Well, at least in Tasmania, we've had a win. Tasmania's parliaments historically voted to support gay marriage and will put pressure on the federal government to change the law.
That's fantastic. And now the Greens, we love the Greens.
Yeah.
We do love a little bit of green. They had a lot to do with this. And another show on Joy 94.9 had an interview with the head of the Tasmanian Greens Party, Nick McKinn. And this is what he had to say.
It's about removing legally entrenched discrimination against people, which is unfortunately contained in the Federal Marriage Act, where people on the basis of their sexuality are discriminated against by being excluded from access to one of the most fundamental civil institutions in our society, the institution of marriage.
So yay, we've got this right. That's really great.
Yeah, and we might get this right if we could go, you know, would you go down to Tassie to get married? I don't know.
They are saying that they will recognise unions done in other parts of the country that are illegal if they go there and get them registered. So that's really great. But, Ali.
Yes, Mike.
It does leave us with a slight problem, and we were discussing this off air, that now as a community, some of us need to face our commitment phobias again. And might I add that in facing those commitment phobias, that this music is appropriate. So, Ali.
Yes, Mike.
Talk to me. Tell me. Tears and fears, Ali.
Yeah, look.
And George Michael.
I tell you what, Mike. Okay, so I have had a little bit of a relationship milestone recently.
Mm.
And I have to say, it's sent me to pieces. I'm a commitment phobe.
Yes.
Let's not beat around the bush.
Yes.
I'm incredibly commitment phobic. So it's it's fantastic. But I've been...
fantastic?
The relationship.
Your love?
Yeah. Okay. All right, yep. Okay, so I'm so commitment phobic, I don't even want to talk about it. But listen, there's been this weird thing going on that's like fear of commitment and fear of, you know, all of that stuff, but all this wonderful other stuff going on. And basically, it's left me in pieces, scared and also crying for like 3 hours at a time.
So can I add that you were like the worst elements of gay man, that, well, not the worst elements, but that particular sort of thread of I'm scared of commitment.
Yeah, you did say that to me, that I'm across, the commitment phobe is like a gay man and all the tears are like a straight woman, that I'm this crazy cross of like gay man, straight woman.
So Ellie, would you be going down to Tasmania and getting married?
Hell no.
Hell no? We've actually had.
No, not that I'm against marriage at all, you guys. I think everybody is entitled to get married. And, you know, I kind of, the little girl fantasist inside of me loves the idea of getting married. But when it comes to the crux of it, I don't know if I actually could.
And we've had an email in at onair@joy.org.au saying that gay marriage is an archaic institution, not gay marriage. Marriage is an archaic institution. Mm-hmm. So used to adding the word gay in front of it.
Yeah.
That I added even when I'm reading. It's an archaic institution, and why would we want it to be applied to our community? It's a good question. I think we should have it applied to our community for one reason, and perhaps one reason alone, so that Ali can be forced to face her fears of commitment. If you're a commitment phobe, let us know. 0427 JOY 949. You're listening to The Roundup with Ali and Michael. Coming up next, Gossip Time.
Joy 94.9.
That's right. You are on Joy 94.9, listening to Michael and Ali on The Roundup. And don't forget to visit us on Facebook. Go to www.facebook.com/The Roundup on Joy 94.9.
It's gossip time on The Roundup. Celebs are bad. That we found out Anastasia and the crew will tell you what they did to Madonna's bad. Britney's sad. Lady Gaga's wearing a bag. It's gossip time. Gotta go, gotta get on. Gossip time with the show. Gossip time. It's gossip time.
And thanks to Celebrity FX for tonight's healthy dose of sexy-themed gossip. And first up, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Well, she pretty much looks like the most innocent person ever. But she's got a kinky quirk. There's one thing to be sent free vibrators while filming a movie about the invention of the female sex toy, but using them too and lending them to friends. Now we're talking kinky there.
You love that story, don't you?
I do. I just love saying the word.
Mm.
Yeah. Kinky? While shooting her new romantic comedy, Hysteria, which tells the story of the invention of the vibrator, Maggie pretty much had sex toys thrown at her, many sex
toys.
Do you
think they hurt when they were thrown at her?
They're normally pretty rubbery and soft, so I wouldn't have thought so.
I don't think I'd want to be slapped with a vibrator.
I know, I probably wouldn't want to be slapped in the face with one. Anyway, right, like moving it. On. Listen, by the time the movie finished, she says she'd been sent about 15 vibrators. That's a pretty credible collection, I reckon. And when asked what she does with that collection, the 34-year-old said she actually uses one or two of them.
Oh, well, at least she's honest.
Yeah, and the rest? And the rest, you ask? Well, apparently she lends them to her friends, and she says they take them for 6 months at a time, and then they swap them.
We really should have given a PG warning plus, PG-15 plus.
Yeah, listen, generosity is a great quality to have, but here's a health warning, kids. It's not cool to share your vibrators, okay? Okay, good. And moving on, we all know...
From sex toys too?
To Simon Cowell.
Oh.
One old 50-year-old sex toy.
No comment.
Some may say. We know he loves the odd Botox injection, but the latest from him is that the secret to his youthful looks is actually vitamin injections. Yep. The X Factor judge revealed his amazing...
Is that with a
carrot? Oh, I don't know. That's yuck, Mike. Hey, the X Factor judge revealed his amazing health secret on Jay Leno recently, telling the audience enthusiastically, these vitamins, you can feel them going through your entire body. And I mean your entire body. According to the 51-year-old, the vitamin shots are so intense that when he gave them to a female co-star, who will of course remain unnamed, she really enjoyed herself.
Well, he's only got two.
Twice.
Paula Abdul. Mm. Paula Abdul and Nicole Scherzinger.
Well, it'd have to be one of them. So he says 5 minutes before we were going to go on air, she was in one of the dressing rooms and she actually had two orgasms during it. True story. You should try it, he advised Jay Leno.
Right.
So, yep, get into those vitamin shots.
I look after myself, you know, I eat well and stuff like that, but I wouldn't call myself super vain, no.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
I really love your well-timed,
It's like we planned it, isn't it, Mike?
Yes.
We're a well-oiled team.
That's right.
Look, in some gross-out news, gossip site RumorFX captured a whole series of pictures of Lindsay Lohan's mum's, Dina's, 49th birthday party in New York recently. This is so gross, including a snap-by-snap record of the moment the mum of four went in for a creepy mouth kiss with her daughter. You can, in that picture, you can actually see their tongues connecting. It is so gross.
That's so gross.
It's so gross. And in the photo, poor old Lindsay's little bro, Cody, is just sat on the sidelines looking about as uncomfortable as a teenage boy can get.
Can I just say, this is why that girl is so messed up. Because when Britney went crazy, her family came in and they're all like, Britney, you got to behave. And these guys, no, yeah. She doesn't stand a chance, the poor thing.
Lindsay Lohan's mum is as messed up as she is.
Sexy. How you doing? You like this on me?
Okay, Ellie, why did you get me to play that, the girl talking sexy? I don't get it.
Well, that girl talking sexy is Kendra Wilkinson, and it's no surprise that the ex-Playboy bunny likes to talk about sex. She's got a book. She just released a book, and it mentions doing the deed on nearly every page. She hasn't penned a piece of erotic fiction. It's her autobiography, Being Kendra, Cribs, Cocktails, and Getting My Sexy Back. And it sounds like a pretty juicy read. Talking to US Weekly about her new book, the busty blonde said, "I think the word sex is on almost every single page. I love sex, but you know, it's hard now with a baby. When you find time, sex is not really the first thing you want to think about." So Kendra and her hubby, American football player Hank Baskett, gave birth to their son Hank Baskett IV in December 2009. Original, yes. Mm. With the former girls of the Playboy Mansion star publicly admitting she'd suffered from postnatal depression. But it seems Kendra's got her mojo back now, telling US Weekly that her and Hank are less than conventional when it comes to sex. She says they try to limit being in the bedroom as much as possible because they think more about sleeping there. So instead of sex, they tend to venture into different places like the kitchen and the jacuzzi.
Because they tend to not think about eating in the kitchen?
Yeah, swimming in the jacuzzi. Mm. I don't know. She says, "Hank and I had sex on a jet ski in Cabo. It was awesome. I'm not a PDA person. That's a public display of affection. But I like sex in cars and stuff. So for Kendra's sake, let's hope sex sells."
Right.
Yes.
That was really very invigorating.
It was.
That episode of Gossip.
Yeah. Well, I've got one more.
Okay.
Because we love him so much here on the Roundup.
Harry Potter.
No, I couldn't finish without a Jay Biebs update.
Oh,
I know. Look, going to the movies with your girlfriend or boyfriend is no small affair when you're the one and only Justin Bieber. The teen dream surprised his girlfriend Selena Gomez with a private screening of Titanic. Guess where? In a stadium. As in, he managed to secure the entire Staples Center in LA for just the two of them. Apparently, Biebs got the idea after watching Mr. Deeds, in which Adam Sandler's character surprises his lady with a date at Madison Square Garden. You'd think that's a pretty grand gesture, but it turns out he got the stadium for free as he'd sold out the venue three times, and it just happened to be free that night.
Look,
cheap or what?
Fair enough. Fair enough. And yeah. I'm banning Justin Bieber. From now on in gossip, no more Justin Bieber, not at all. Now, coming up on the Roundup, we want to know, do you like eat food that's tempting when you know you shouldn't be? I'm talking about cakes.
Yeah. Woo! When I'm walking down the street, they say, "Hey, sexy."
Hey, sexy.
When I'm dancing in the club, they say, "Hey, sexy."
Hey, sexy.
When I'm driving in my car or I'm standing at the bar, it don't matter where I are, they say, "Hey, sexy."
Hey, sexy.
Silly boy.
Now, you are listening to The Roundup on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station with Ali and Michael. And let us know your thoughts throughout the show, 0427-JOY-949 or 1300-JOY-949.
Mike,
yes.
We're getting fatter.
Who, us personally or?
Well, I don't know. You don't seem to. You seem to be getting broader, not fatter.
No. It's just all in the, I'm wearing that special spandex that keeps it all in.
Is that what it is? There's some research from Monash University that shows that if current weight gain rates are continued, normal weight adults will constitute less than a third of the population by 2025, and the obesity prevalence will have increased by 65%. That's insane. So basically Australia is going to be 65% obese by 2025 if we don't do something about this.
Right. Well.
So, do not let them all eat cake. Stop eating cake, people.
And this does lead me to the question, do you do what I did on the weekend? And I ate a particular brand of fast food that I really shouldn't have had. And I knew it was wrong for me at the time, but I still did it. And I knew that, hey, I'm going to go have to run and on the treadmill for the next 2 hours or, you know, whatever it is, to lose that you know, the energy I'm getting from that food. Do you do that? Let us know, 0427-JOY-949 or 1300-JOY-949. And when you do it, do you care?
I think I do it a little. I certainly overeat at times. So I had a girls catch up on yesterday afternoon, and there's always an amazing spread of food. That's part of the rules of this catch up that we have, that you have to have certain foods on the table. There has to be baked goods. The cake was so delicious that I had two pieces of cake. Two pieces of cake. I knew that I shouldn't have two pieces of cake, but
what
it was
sort of
so
cake
good.
Was it?
Oh, it was yummy. It was almost healthy because it was orange and poppy seed cake. Flourless orange and poppy seed cake. Homemade by my friend.
We just had an SMS in, not cake, but muffins. This person eats muffins.
Do they have a muffin top?
Possibly. His name is Scott, and he admits to eating a muffin every morning with his coffee.
Whoa.
I don't know. A bit dodgy, really.
It is a bit dodgy. Look, I think on a serious note, isn't Australia almost like the most obese country now?
We are, yes.
Like above the UK and America, Australia is the fattest country in the world. This is insane. And we're joking about it and saying don't eat cake and ha-ha muffins and stuff. But seriously, something has to happen. And I think, you know, the research also shows that educating people one-on-one about good nutrition and the importance of physical activity isn't working, that there has to be some sort of a national strategy that goes on. And I know we talked a few weeks ago about fast food advertising and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, maybe that's part of the campaign or this kind of national strategy that needs to happen to keep us less obese.
Maybe there should be like an incentive. Let us know your thoughts. 0427-JOY-949 or 1300-JOY-949. We'd love to hear what you think. We'll find out that next on The Roundup. The Roundup with Ali and Michael on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
And we have had a flurry of emails.
A flurry?
Yeah.
A McFlurry?
Yeah, nice, yum. Talking about obesity. So we've had some about, you know, we talked about our win in Tasmania and for gay marriage and, you know, what that means for commitment phobes like me.
We did. We talked all about that. And Ali, you spoke to us about this song. And slow dancing. No.
Yes, because I've had tears and fears.
That's right. Ali revealed to us, to the tune of Careless Whisper by George Michael, that she is a commitment phobe. And it looks like you lot out there are also commitment phobes. Dan has emailed us in at onair@joy.org.au saying that, I read that commitment phobes are tortured souls full of fear. They are in a constant state of emotional conflict because of their negative, irrational beliefs about love, commitment, and relationships. Well, that's deep, Dan. That's really deep. Are you in a constant state of fear, Ali?
No, but I probably...
You did cry for about half an hour.
Yeah, I know. I had some conflict and some irrational things going on. Anyway, let's not talk about it because you got me sweating before because of talking about it. Ingrid says she's a total commitment phobe too. She says she wants a relationship, but she also wants freedom and space. So she solved her problem by being in a long-distance relationship with an independent woman, and that works perfectly for her. Good on you, Ingrid. I'm pleased to hear it.
Yes, Ingrid is supporting the commitment phobe in the room. I'll happily say that I'm no longer a commitment phobe. I got over that.
Yeah, what's going on for you, Mike?
Yeah, got over it. I moved on to another stage of love.
You've moved into a new phase of love.
A
Tell
new
me
phase
about
of love that.
That
I never knew existed. And this goes back to theory people. They say there are three stages of love. The first is that intense, sort of passionate, like addictive, lusty type love, right?
Honeymoon phase.
Yeah, that. And then they say that you move into this thing called like companionship and friendship and stuff, but it's love. And that's where I'm at. And it's interesting because it's like now you look at your partner as a source of like comfort and compassion, and they're there for you emotionally as well as having, you know, the nice bottom. So it's an interesting space to be in. I've never been there before, and I suggest you go there. Like Dean, he has emailed us in at onairjoy.org.au, and he says he was dumped by his ex-boyfriend a few months ago. He was so commitment phobic. He kept coming back, creating the whole on-off scenario that drives you mad. I finally finished it, but now he keeps texting me. Oh, how frustrating.
And I bet if Dean took the ex-BF back, he'd dump him again because it would be too commitment worthy. Anyway, you are on The Roundup.
You
on
are.
Australia's only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9. And What's it time for now, Mike?
It's time for this.
That was the roundup for another week. Thank you to Rob for program support. Thanks to everyone who messaged us. We do have to get out of here to make way for the Spirit Lounge. They are literally trying to get us out of our seats.
There's spirits everywhere.
Visit us on Facebook for more opinionated news and current affairs throughout the week. Go to facebook.com/theroundup on Joy 94.9 and we will be back next Monday at 8 p.m. Thanks, Mike. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye, Melbourne.
Ciao, bye.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.